From the studios of KPCW in Park City, it's This Green Earth, a weekly talk show about the environment and our connections with it. I'm Nell Larson.
And I'm Chris Cherniak.
Vail Resorts is the new owner and operator of Canyon Ski Resort, as all of us locals know. Vail Resorts' ECHO program focuses on environmental stewardship, charitable contributions, and volunteerism.
Nikki DeFord joins us in the first part of the show to explain what that program is all about and describe other projects Vail Resorts is engaged in with respect to the environment and sustainability.
Then, in the second half of the show, we'll be joined by Jennifer Jackenthal. She is the director of Park City School District's Center for Advanced Professional Studies, or PC CAPS for short.
That's right. She'll give us some background on the program. Then project mentor Mike Wong and student Jamie Martin will talk about one of PC CAPS' environmental projects, a plan to install a large array of solar panels on the roof of the high school.
So you'll hear all of that and also some news about the massive proposed pebble mine in Alaska's Bristol Bay ecosystem and the latest developments on that front.
That's right.
And we'll also talk about nuclear power plants in the U.S. making changes in response to the disaster that we saw at Fukushima.
And that speaking of that radioactivity is finally making it to the Northwest.
Ah, good
news.
We'll
talk about that too. And if we have a few minutes, a little bit about the latest waxy crude pipeline proposed for this area.
Right here in Summit County.
Through Summit County and perhaps even through your backyard. Of course, you can join us on today's discussion by posting your questions or comments to our Facebook page, KPCW This Green Earth, or email us at thisgreenearth@kpcw.org.
The environment, our connections with it, and impacts upon it. It's This Green Earth, and it all gets started right after a few words from our underwriters. Stay tuned.
This is Larry Warren, and next on Mountain Money, the Car Guy. We'll talk with the Consumer Reports car editor about 2014's best car.
And this is Doug Wells. We'll also highlight Advice Media, another Park City startup with a national customer base.
Always something you can take to the bank on Mountain Money, Mondays at 9 after NPR News.
Brought to you by Park City Realty Group, Mountain West Bank, Park City Chamber Bureau, and Iron Mountain Group.
Hi, this is Steve Roney with Prudential Utah Real Estate, a proud supporter of KPCW. With more than 100 sales associates and 14 gallery or ski-in offices in Park City, Prudential Utah can help you with your residential or commercial real estate needs. More information at pru-utah.com or with the Prudential Utah mobile search app.
Park City Restore is grateful for the many hands that have made it successful. Your gift of time means more affordable housing services are available locally through Habitat for Humanity. Plus, volunteering at the Restore gives you a first look at the amazing treasures donated for resale. Learn how you can get involved at habitat-utah.org. Click on the big yellow volunteer button. Habitat for Humanity of Summit and Wasatch Counties is a nonprofit organization.
I'm John Wells.
And I'm Lynn Ware Peake.
Join us for Cool Science Radio Thursdays at 9 a.m.
From the discovery of new dinosaurs to the science of an avalanche.
From the secret technology behind Facebook to nanotechnology.
Deciphering science and tech in an entertaining, amusing, and accessible way.
It's Cool Science Radio. If we understand it, so can you.
Thursdays at 9 a.m. only in Park City, only on KPCW.
Brought to you by Peake Art and Frame.
Welcome back to This Green Earth. I am Nell Larson, here with Chris Cherniak, as always. Mm-hmm. And on the phone with us for the first half of the show is Nikki DeFord. She joins us as part of the Vail Resorts Corporation, and she runs their charitable contributions program, environmental stewardship, and their ECHO program. So, Nikki, thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. How are you guys doing this morning?
Good.
We're great. Happy to have you. So why don't you start by just giving us, you know, the quick overview of Vail's, giving and environmental efforts and how long that's been going on?
Sure. So, you know, I think, you know, Vail Resorts has had a long time commitment to sustainability and environmental stewardship. But about, almost 6 years ago now, the heads of the company, Rob and his leadership team, really took a careful look at how all of the things that we do integrate. So how does what we do for, the environment and sustainability in a community, how does that play into how we support nonprofits? And how do we also engage our employees to get involved in all of the programs that we're involved in? And so they developed a program that is now called Vail Resorts Echo, to really kind of be the umbrella for all of the things that we do so that that there's synergies between everything, charitable giving, the environmental programs, and then in what we call employee engagement, but really how do we get our employees invested in the communities where they live.
Fantastic. So give us, some examples of what you've done locally.
Sure. So, in Park City, we came in and last fall and said, we have a big commitment to community in all of our other communities. Up until we started our program in Park City, we gave about $6 million annually to the other communities that we operate in. And so we wanted to come in and do the same thing there in Park City. So we sat down with a number of different organizations and really picked ones that we thought aligned with our mission. We're focused on youth and environment in our communities and really felt like we picked some great programs. So last October, we announced $500,000 in grants to 10 local nonprofits there in Park City, all focused around either environmental programs that we felt were really amazing or programs that will help create really amazing, bright futures for kids there. And then also in December, we sat down and did a second round of grants. So our total contribution in Park City this year is around $635,000 to nonprofits. And that's just on our charitable giving side.
Wow. Can you tell us who some of those nonprofits are?
Of course I can, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they're familiar names to everybody. So it's, the Kimball Arts Center and their arts program that they do in the schools. It's Recycle Utah, and we are helping them fund their snow sports recycling program. It's the Summit Land Conservancy, and we mm-hmm. helped them get the final $40,000 they needed for the Weber River Initiative, but it was a final land purchase that they'd been working on for quite some time, and mm-hmm. we were able to help them get over the finish line. We started a new program with the People's Health Clinic to make sure that kids have proper vision or can get vision care and glasses. Teachers were saying kids were having a hard time seeing the chalkboard and what we do to help. So we stepped in there. The list is impressive. And I know as someone, I came in and I didn't know a lot about your community, and I immediately felt at home and love Park City and the things that those amazing organizations are doing.
That's fantastic. What kind of obligations are there when you – here's $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of obligations or milestones or schedules are there?
Sure.
Are they applied?
I think that's a great question. And we don't, I often say, this is a partnership. And so how can we work together? And what we ask the nonprofit is really, we want to know how our money is making an impact. So we ask the organizations to report back to us, how many kids have you helped? Mm-hmm. How has it helped them? Are we seeing grades improve? Are we seeing more people interact with the recycling program if they can bring their snow sports equipment in? How many pounds are we recycling? So we ask for those milestones so that we can track and say, yes, this program is successful and we want to keep doing it.
Right.
The other thing that we ask is we want the community to know that we care and that we are invested. And so we work with nonprofits to promote the programs for a number of reasons. One, to get participants involved in the programs, but then also to let the community know that, Vail Resorts and Canyons Resort really does want to move the needle on the things that matter.
Good.
So that's a great overview of sort of the charitable giving mm-hmm. locally that we've seen here.
Sure.
But as, part of the Swanner Preserve and Eco Center, I have to say you also have a great volunteer program that were the lucky recipient of this past year.
Oh. Right.
The Vail Echo Day. So talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, we love Echo Day. We started it 4 years ago. And again, this goes to really the employee community engagement and how do we get our employees excited. It's not a We have a lot of transition in our, you know, frontline employees. And really, we want to create a community for them so that they stay longer and, you know, become, you know, part of the family, if you will. And so Echo Day has actually gone a long way to do that. It's a company-wide volunteer day, and we do, last year we did 8 projects all on the same day. It was the third weekend in September. It will be the third weekend in September this year again. And we bring out, we brought out about 1,200 employees from Tahoe all the way to Jamaica last year. Our goal for this year is going to be about 2,000. And we partner with local nonprofits. Like Nell said, you know, we partnered with Swanner to do work on the property last year. And Nell, you can talk more about the work, but that is important to the habitat and wildlife. And other places, we do trail restoration. We did a river restoration outside of Vail. All kinds of different projects, but really projects that the whole family can come out for. And that's actually really important to us, that everyone from the 3-year-old in the family to, you know, all the way up can participate. And so our projects include everything from pulling to, you know, when our ops guys bring their heavy machinery in. So we have a little bit of everything for everybody, but it's a team effort, and it's amazing to see, you know, 100 or all the way up to 300 employees working side by side with their families, right, doing something for the community that matters.
So how'd they do now?
They did very well, A+. They did so on. So they partnered with Swanner as well as our partner, a committee we sit on, the East Canyon Creek Watershed Committee, and we focused on projects that impacted East Canyon Creek and water quality. So they helped with stream bank plantings, mm-hmm, to help shade the stream, helped with stream bank revetments in areas where we're seeing erosion taking place too fast, mm-hmm, helped with fence removal that was preventing some wildlife passage. So we did a wide variety of things, and it's amazing how much you can get done when you've got like 100 people, you know, in one day. I'm not remembering the exact count, actually.
Right.
I think it was a little bit less than that, but
yeah.
You just get a large number of people on one day. And so if you're ready to mobilize, you know, you can really take advantage.
And imagine if you did that in June, you have an even longer day. See,
that's
the
so
goal,
true.
Nikki.
So
you need
true.
To,
yeah.
You need to do it on June 21st, the longest day of the year.
Get
full advantage.
We pick September to get our, you know, it's kind of the kickoff to the when the employees start to return for the
right.
season. So we try and get everybody involved.
Right. No.
So Nikki, tell us how many different, you know, Vail Corporation incorporates, mm-hmm, obviously a number of different resorts. So tell us where those are,
mm-hmm,
and where these projects are happening.
Yeah, so we're kind of all over the place now, but we have 3 resorts out near Lake Tahoe: North Star, Heavenly, and Kirkwood. So we have we actually combined two. So we have 2 big environmental projects out there that we do as part of Echo Day, and then we have out there in Park City. And we have 2 here in Colorado, 1 in Eagle County, which was Vail and Beaver Creek Resorts, and then 1 in Summit County, Colorado, which is Breckenridge and Keystone. Then we have 1 up in Jackson. We actually are the concessionaire for the Park Service up there for Grand Teton National Park. So we have a number of employees up there and do some great work with the Grand Teton Foundation up in Jackson. We have a project out in Minnesota as part of Afton Alps and the resort we run out there. And then down in Jamaica, Half Moon Bay, we have a big hotel there, kind of an historic hotel that's pretty famous, Half Moon, and all the employees down there do beach restoration as part of their Echo Day. So kind of a wide range of projects really to fit, you know, what the community need is. And it really, a lot of them do go hand in hand with some of our other environmental programs.
So does this initiative cross over to your locations in Europe?
It doesn't. You know, we don't own those resorts in Europe. We just have a partnership with them.
I see.
So unfortunately, we haven't been able to, you know, do a field trip there to see what the needs might be.
I'm sure that would be fun for you, for your
it
job.
It would be.
Right. Or what their environmental programs are and sustainability efforts going, because many times they're on the kind of the forefront of what in those arenas. Hey, if you mm-hmm. just joined us, we're speaking with Nikki DeForge. She is with Vail Resorts Management Company Corporation. She's with their environmental programs and charitable giving. We're talking about Vail Resort's efforts in the arena of environmental awareness and conservations and sustainability. Let's talk a little bit about some of the projects or programs that any one of these resorts is doing, say, with respect to energy conservation, mm-hmm. electricity and fuel, et cetera.
Yeah. So we, in 2008, announced a program called Target 10%. And it was an initiative to reduce the company's energy use by 10% mm-hmm. In 3 years. And we accomplished that, and it was great, and really did that through low-hanging fruit, if you will, and behavior change, easy capital investment, that kind of thing. At that point, the company said, you know, this has been a really amazing thing for us, but we can do more. So we're going to announce another 10% energy reduction by 2020. And that's going to actually require a much more strategic thinking around how we use energy and also capital investment. And I am actually not the expert in this area. We have a person who handles all of our energy use, mm-hmm. and he's amazing at what he does and can sit down with all of our resorts and looks at everything from lighting to snowmaking to the snow cats and how they're, you know, using energy on the mountain when they're in use. So we look at every facet of, you know, how we're using energy and how we can reduce it. And that's something that we are now starting at Canyons. And so people are going to start to see, you know, we do things a little differently, whether it's how the guns that we use to how we drive snow cats on the mountain to behavior change of employees. So it's a comprehensive, you know, the next 10, it's called the next 10, is, you know, kind of the highlight, if you will, of our environmental programs. It's definitely the most overarching at all of our resorts. It's the whole company, from our lodging to our retail to our mountains that we're looking at.
Well, I saw an example of some of the work you did at Breckenridge mm-hmm. to with respect to the snow guns and the amount of yeah. energy that's consumed there. You saved somewhere around 1 million kilowatt hours.
Yeah. Pretty amazing.
And that converts to, I did some quick math, that converts to 500 tons of coal that's yeah. not burned. And that's a great way of drawing an analogy to yeah. how electricity means in terms of coal. And that's like, that's five railroad cars of coal that don't get burned. And that's the kind yeah. of efforts that you do. And that's great.
Yeah, no, it's something that we're proud of. And then, like I said, the cool thing about the next 10 is that touches every part of the company. We have a lot of amazing environmental programs. We do let the mountain resorts and our other facets divisions kind of drive what works for them. So, you know, in Summit County, Colorado, you know, waste diversion and going zero waste in our restaurants is a big initiative for them. In other places, you know, it's composting. Everybody is a little bit different mm-hmm. in how they address the problem that is most dear to them. And so we definitely let the resorts drive that. We have an environmental manager at every single one of our resorts. They're at Canyons, it's Dana Edwards, and I'm sure people know that name. And she is fantastic at what she does and very committed and works with our larger team. We have an entire team of, you know, people who know their stuff when it comes to environmental programs. And we call it sustainable operations.
Right.
Because it's really looking at how we do business and how we can do it, you know, for both, you know, to be sustainable, both for the environment and for our bottom line.
Well, and another example on your website talked about how you recycled 5 million pounds of waste,
yeah,
otherwise waste, uh-huh. in 2012. And that equates to like 250 garbage trucks not going to the landfill.
It's amazing.
Again, that's my math there, but my estimate. But that's impressive. But those are the kind of things – that's almost kind of like the low-hanging fruit, like you
it
talked
is.
About, that first 10. It's not too difficult to make impacts like that.
No, and it's really about inspiring employees to change their behavior. Mm-hmm. And so that is really one of our biggest initiatives, is if every single employee – you know, works on the recycling and works to get it on the composting, you know, when they're in the restaurants, it makes an enormous difference. Whether, you know, in for Keystone and Breckenridge, we have a huge composting facility, and so it makes it easier. But in all of our resorts, they're looking at how we compost. In North Star, you know, the employees do it on their own. And take it to the composting center there in Truckee. In Eagle County, the employees actually have partnered with farmers and ranchers and take our compost to the pig farms.
Yeah.
So they all look at things a little differently, how they're going to solve for the problem. We have a goal. You know, this year our stated goal is 50% waste diversion across the company. And so how each resort gets there might be look a little different, but everyone works towards that goal.
Wow, 50%
yeah.
as a combined percentage
yeah.
from all the resorts.
Yeah.
Wow, that's good luck.
Thank
I mean,
you.
But you know, so it's interesting. Part of your reducing your waste stream is also looking at the raw materials you bring mm-hmm. in the front door. You know, kind
yeah.
of like you know the food and the materials and the goods and
the
paper and the packaging.
And the,
so
yeah.
that's part of sustainability too.
Yeah. So we, you know, that's our procurement team, and they
yeah.
are working very closely with our, you know, with the people we buy products from, and you know. One of our biggest problems is on the retail side. You know, there comes a lot of packaging comes with every helmet you buy or every pair of skis you buy. There's a lot of stuff
right.
involved in that. And
right.
so, you know, they're working closely with the manufacturers to say, can we not have, you know, five plastic bags that go along with every helmet you sell?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the retailers have responded to that. And so we're actually seeing a lot less packaging. You know, water bottles aren't coming covered in plastic bags and things like that. So we definitely are making in that direction as we, you know, really look at our retail operations when it comes to the procurement side.
Well, let's be honest, Vail has a lot of pull.
Mm-hmm.
Vail means something to a lot of suppliers. And if you guys make a request like that, they will do their best to honor it.
They are, especially on the, you know, within the industry. You know, the Burtons and the Solomons of the world are, you know, working hand in hand with our procurement team to mm-hmm. say, okay, how can we make this better?
Yeah.
So it's impressive.
Good.
So, Nikki, we have to wrap up in a
okay.
minute or two. Is there anything that we missed that you want to highlight?
Yeah, you know, just one thing that I think might be important for everyone there in Park City. We have a guest donation program that where we ask everyone who buys a season pass or stays in our lodging to donate $1 for every night stayed or for every pass purchased or for every lift ticket that they buy online. And there in Park City, our partner is Mountain Trails Foundation. And Charlie and Laura and the team have been amazing, obviously, to work with. And we're very excited to partner with them for the long term to see this program be successful. But, so, you know, I think that is another way that we are raising money locally for things that are important to people that live there. But I just wanted to mention it because I know that people love the Mountain Trails Foundation, and we're excited to be their partner. So, you know, support them in any way you can, and we are as well.
Fantastic. Well, Nikki DeFord with Vail Resorts Management Corporation, thank you for taking the time to
Absolutely.
Join us. We look forward to it. If you're ever out here in the area, stop by.
Absolutely.
Well, there's plenty of more projects we can talk about.
Definitely.
Including the next Echo Day.
Yes, September 20th, I think, this year. So
and the new one, June 21st.
That's
the
right.
Longest
that's
day.
Right. Longest day of the year.
Sponsored by the screener.
All right, Nikki.
Perfect.
Thanks
Thank
for
guys.
Joining us. Okay.
Absolutely. Bye-bye.
Let's take a break for a few underwriters. When we come back, we'll be joined with the folks from PC Caps to talk about that program and their solar project. It's This Green Earth. Stay tuned.
Hi, this is Reese DeMille with Republic Services, your local source for recycling and garbage services and a proud sponsor of KPCW's This Green Earth. Recycling in Summit County is improving. The trick to remember? Recyclable materials go in your larger blue or brown bin, and gray is for garbage. Recycling helps keep Summit County clean. SummitCountyRecycles.org.
Hello, this is Miles Reiterman inviting you to Leadership Park City's annual Community Leadership Program on Monday, March 17th from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Santee Auditorium. Join us for this free event honoring the 20th anniversary of our community's award-winning leadership program, featuring a number of our nation's leading leadership practitioners as they reveal their unique stories, successes and failures, and the driving spirit motivating them. Park City Municipal is a nonprofit organization.
The Basin Recreation Fieldhouse expansion is so close to being finished. And in order to complete final construction, the weight room and indoor track will be closed from Saturday, March 8th through Monday, March 17th. All field activity and field fitness classes will take place as usual. Please visit basinrecreation.org for full closure details. We thank you for your patience and look forward to opening the new field house as soon as possible. Basin Recreation, a nonprofit organization.
Welcome back to This Green Earth, a weekly talk show on environmental issues and concepts of sustainability. I'm Chris Cherniak. She's Nell Larson. And joining us in the studio are folks from PC Caps, including Jennifer Jackenthal, Mike Wong, and student Jamie Martin. First of all, thanks for taking the time to come on in and talk about PC Caps and some of the projects you guys are doing there. Jennifer, let's start with you. You're the director of PC Caps, and why don't you give us a quick overview of what the program is about, its goals and objectives?
Okay. PC Caps is high school classes, Park City High School classes, that are designed to prepare students for college and careers in the sense that they give them some professional experience as well as being able to explore some careers by doing projects for real clients in the real world, off campus, and hopefully it will help guide them in making choices for their majors and their careers in the future.
So tell us how this program is structured. You know, what pieces of the puzzle are involved here?
Pieces of the puzzle. Well, we have the students, and mm-hmm. we have business partners, and we have mentors and facilitators. So businesses provide us with projects that they have on the back burner, nothing mission critical, but things that they would like to have done but simply don't have the resources to get done. And we provide those resources. So, for example, we have a project for Rockwell Collins that is to design the flight simulator for Heber Airport. And so Rockwell Collins engineers work with our students to use the software to do that. And along the way, we met the owner of Heber Airport, and he's going through an expansion, so we'll be modeling that as well. And those are services that we provide for free. And for the students, it's a great experience to interact with the real world, to really use their academic skill outside of the classroom in a professional environment. So that they can experience what that's like.
One of the interesting things I thought about the way that this is set up is that the business that provides the project isn't the only person giving the student support. The students are also getting advice and support from the mentors that you mentioned.
Exactly. And Mike Wong, who's here today, is one of those mentors. And our host, Chris Cherniak, is one of those mentors. We try to have a mentor for every project, at least one mentor. And those are professionals in the field, and they spend the requisite amount of time necessary depending on what the project is and who the students are. The clients actually truly outsource the project to us, just as if they were outsourcing to an ad agency or an engineering firm. And their mm-hmm. Communication with us depends on the amount of time they have, but it's a minimum of an email a week, a phone call every 2 weeks, and a face-to-face once a month.
Right. So PC Caps is kind of like a engineering or consulting firm that does include just engineering. It includes other departments, let's say, Jennifer, right? Like a business department and graphics department, et cetera?
Exactly. So we have software development. We have interactive design, which is everything from web design, logo design, 3D animation and film, and then business, which of course includes finance and marketing and business strategy and business processes, and engineering, which is, of course, a really broad field, everything from environmental engineering to civil engineering to mechanical engineering to robotics, and the list goes on.
Right. And
oh, yes, student teaching. Thank you, Mike. We have a teacher ed class as well, which is phenomenal.
Yeah, so these kids learn, like Jennifer's saying, is that basically work with real clients on real projects with real milestones, real goals, real schedules, something
oh boy,
like adults have trouble with.
Yeah, but always a challenge, regardless of the situation.
And like I say, they're not necessarily budgets they have to concern themselves with. They've got enough on their plate to handle all these projects and what's expected of them by the end of the semester, right, Jennifer, which is typically sometime in May. It wraps up.
Right. It wraps up in the first week of June, and the students generally have 90 hours of project time that they can devote to a project. And then if there are usually two students per project, or sometimes they cross over. So the solar project we're going to discuss today also interacts with the design department.
So let's talk a little bit about this solar project. Are you, Mike, are you the mentor for this?
Yeah, I'm kind of spearheading it a little, along with Chris helping out and John Conde from Alpen Solar. Michael Dowling as well has been stepping in. Basically, what we're trying to do is put together a feasibility study on what it would take to put solar panels on the majority of the buildings in the school district. So probably about 7 buildings. And what we hope to do is offset our carbon footprint and reduce the electrical bill that the school district pays. So we're leading a group of 4 students. Jamie, who's in the studio today, is one of them. And we're doing a feasibility study looking at how much space we have available, what we can produce, the cost associated with it, and just the environmental impact that putting solar will have.
Right. And you're trying to obtain some funding for this from a state program to help offset the capital costs for it, correct?
Definitely. Rocky Mountain Power has a unique program where they're giving rebates to large non-commercial entities. And the high school was fortunate enough to get put on a wait list where basically the school district, if everything goes according to plan, we have the ability to receive over $530,000 from Rocky Mountain Power, no strings attached, to apply to a solar install on the high school. So what the students are currently working on is a feasibility study on the high school to see how much it will cost and if we can make it happen.
Right. Like you say, how many panels then they can put up there? Can the roof hold that structure? So there's structural analysis involved.
Correct.
Not to mention, like say, the electrical analysis and looking at all the different – so learning about what solar is from a science and engineering point of view. And then in this case, they are running the costs.
Yeah. Yeah, the students are getting real-world experience.
So I want to hear from Jamie about this. I mean, we're really talking up this project. But tell us a little bit about your role in the project and what you've been working on.
My role in the project is I have been assigned a certain amount of buildings where I have to calculate the amount of solar panels that can be put in the roof, as well as the direction that they're going to be facing. I was assigned Trailside, the bus garage, and Partley's Park.
Fantastic. So how long have you been working on this project so far?
The project started in the beginning of the semester when I found out about it. I kind of had to fight to be on the project because so many kids wanted to be on the solar project because it is a really big, important project and it's really relevant in our school district.
Yeah, something that you may be able to sort of see in action on the ground in the community.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, how awesome is it that we're going to be able to be green in just a couple of years?
Right. Yeah. So talk a little bit more about how you got involved in PCCAPS. What was the attraction, Jamie?
Well, I knew I wanted to be an engineer, but I really had no idea what engineering was. And my dad, who is a big fan of KPCW, heard about it over the radio.
Of course. We'd like to hear that.
Thank you.
He made me go because I, of course, being a senior, was like, I want to take as many free periods as I can. And instead, I took PC caps to figure out if I actually wanted to be an engineer. And in this case, it definitely reaffirmed that I actually do want to take engineering in college.
So good work to the mentors and the director of this program.
Yeah. So far. So far, she wants to be an engineer.
Yeah.
We'll bring her back.
We won't let her spend any more time with you and change her mind.
No, that's what this program does. And it's really interesting because what I see coming out of it is the students learn how to communicate better, which is critical in a professional environment, communicate both verbally and in a written form, because writing is a really important aspect. And Charlie Matthews, who Jennifer, talk a little bit about Charlie Matthews. I know we only have 10 more minutes, so try to summarize it. But he kind of heads up. He's the AP physics teacher at the high school, and he does yeoman's work there.
Well, what's amazing about Charlie, besides his incredible enthusiasm, is that he has been able to locate 6 of his prior students who are engineers here in the area, Mike Wong being one of them, Sam Netker, Mike Dempkowitz. So there are several of them that have gone through the Charlie Matthews School of AP Physics and become engineers and are now involved with PC CAPS, which is really exciting. Charlie also coaches the robotics team for the high school, which placed first, second, and third at state and is going to regionals. So Charlie's pretty amazing, and he's really passionate about this solar project and about taking school district energy usage to the next level in terms of evolution, really.
Right. And let's talk a little bit about some of the other projects, too. In addition to solar, I'm kind of a mentor on 2 projects. One is with Mountain Regional Water District, and they're looking at some alternative ways to basically pump water in a more efficient manner. So it's more of a kind of a desktop hydraulic analysis that the students do. But this is pretty high-level stuff that this team of 3 students are tasked with. So I'm kind of guiding them on that. Another one is with Ramp Skis, and they're looking to be more sustainable and try to figure out how to reduce their waste stream and perhaps how to recycle some of their materials. They use a lot of natural bamboo based skis, and so they're trying to evaluate, and so the kids are tasked with trying to figure out how the skis can become certified FSC, Forest Sustainable
Forest Stewardship Council.
Thank you now. that FSC classification. So these are some of the projects that they're being tasked with, again, that have real goals and milestones. This PC CAPS is open to all students, right, Jennifer?
Yes. Yeah, so PC CAPS has no prerequisites and no GPA requirements, simply because we really want to engage students in their learning and give them an opportunity to explore careers. And so if, for instance, you're in the software development class and you happen to love programming and coding, great, we can find something for you to do. But many of our students in the software development class have no programming experience, which is just fine, because we're developing software from the ground up, and there's a lot of that is the theory behind it and the structure of it rather than the actual coding. We do have a couple of great success stories coming out of PC CAPS that I, of course, have to share. One of them is the teacher ed program. We had a student come in who was convinced he wanted to be a teacher. He taught third grade French immersion at Trailside, and he taught seventh grade French at Ecker, and he emerged fully still convinced he wanted to be a teacher. Another student in the teacher ed program came out of it saying, "Thank goodness for PC CAPS, because I could never be a teacher. It was the hardest thing I'd ever done." And she had already applied for colleges, and so we saved her a bundle, and we saved her a miserable career experience. One other story is that we had a student who did not have the GPA nor the SAT to get into the University of Utah's College of Business Honors program, which is an amazing program. They literally put students on airplanes to go visit companies. And without the GPA and without the SAT, he really didn't have a chance. And he wrote about his PC CAPS experience, really just the learning experience of being in a professional environment, not necessarily about his project. And his teacher, Mr. Fisher, wrote about how he performed in his project. And the dean of admissions at the U called and said, "Did this student really do these things?" And Mr. Fisher said, "Yes." And now the student is in the University of Utah Honors College of Business without the SAT and without the GPA, which is a great story.
That's fantastic. And because there's no GPA requirements, that's how Mike and I were able to get in.
Exactly.
Selected as mentors, bottom of the barrel, huh?
Slid in there.
The mentors are really such a key part of the program.
Where do they come from,
Jennifer? They come from all over the place. We have former CEOs. We have radio hosts. We have engineers.
Environmental engineers.
We have, you know, it's amazing. People who own their own creative design firms, people that specialize in WordPress or film. They really enjoy working with the students. And because there is no minimum amount of time that they spend, I think they end up spending more time than they were planning because it's not forced on them. And they've really made a big difference in helping the students and guiding them, because the students are doing the kind of work they would be doing post-college. And so it's an interesting thing for the kids, too, to go through that sort of social cultural change from the classroom to the real world. And that's what we're trying to expose them to as well.
So how long has this program been running, and what sort of changes have you seen over that time?
Well, we're in our second semester. The biggest change I'd say that we saw was we did a survey to business partners, parents, and students last semester, and it was overwhelmingly positive response. One of the challenges the businesses gave us, though, was to continue to improve on the students' professional communication and project management skills. So we're really focused in on that this semester.
And what do you see coming down the pike for this? Do you think this program will grow a lot? Does it seem to be popular at the school?
I think it's the best thing about PC Caps, and like the hard part about getting it out to the students is they're like, oh, I don't want to dress formally every day.
sure.
But the best thing, like, I see so many kids getting really excited, especially about the graphic design program, because we have really some amazing artists at the high school and that are able to translate that into an actual career choice and being successful. So I'm seeing it become really popular, especially in my peer group.
And again, I wanted to elaborate a little more that what I've seen in the month or so that I've been there is that, again, students develop better communication skills, which is critical in a professional environment, both learning how to write and how to verbalize thoughts and ideas. The second thing they do is collaboration. You guys work in teams. These are not individual activities. These are group efforts, and so you have to learn how to work in a team atmosphere. And when I see a combination of the communication skills plus collaboration skills, what evolves from that is confidence. And the confidence to express ideas and thoughts and their opinions on things in a collaborative way is really impressive. I mean, what these engineers, you know, future engineers in this case, are doing are things that I should have could have benefited from when I was in college. Juniors and seniors in college should be going through programs like this. So I don't know, Mike, you would agree with what you're seeing with respect to the solar project.
Yeah, like for your parents listening right now, I would definitely urge your children to look into this program. There is so much opportunity here. The software, the technology they have at their fingertips, it's something they definitely need to get involved with in high school. It will open their eyes.
Yeah. And let's go another couple minutes about the solar project. What's the time frame and milestones? What do you got coming up?
Well, we'd like to get the ball rolling as soon as possible. We'll find out whether or not we get the rebate from Rocky Mountain Power probably within the next week or two if we're awarded. But ultimately, we'd like to have the students present to the school board on what it would cost and the benefits of putting solar on all the school school buildings. And we'd like to do it as soon as possible. We're just waiting to set a time up with the school board.
And again, any sense of, let's say you put the panels up on the high school, an array up there, any idea of how much savings there would be?
Sure.
Monthly on kilowatt hours?
What we're looking at right now, if we were to completely outfit the high school with panels, we'd probably save. Well, currently the high school spends about $246,000 a year on electricity.
Wow.
That's just the high school alone. So if we put a system up, we'd be able to cut that in half. Plus, we'd be able to receive a $530,000 rebate from Rocky Mountain Power. But what's interesting right now is how the school district set up. The school actually has a lot of funds available in their capital budget, and not so much available in their operating budget. And what this would – putting solar on the schools would allow the school districts to do is essentially free up roughly $400,000 a year in operating funds, which they could then pass on to other programs, hire more teachers, mm-hmm. I don't know, pay teachers a little more.
Right.
So it's an interesting way to free up funds by installing solar.
And what's interesting is that $246K a year, that's on average $20,000 a month. You could have that. But what's interesting is that a lot of power is consumed in the summer. When the building is effectively empty, but the building still requires a lot of HVAC systems running and keep it cool and all that. And that's when you need to generate the most potential energy from solar power. So you see a lot of savings during that time frame, May through September.
Correct. And it's why time is kind of important right now is because net metering is currently allowed. And basically what that does is allows the Park City School District the opportunity to use the electrical grid as a battery. So whatever the school district could produce in a year, they got to keep. It's basically rule. If you're a residential user and you look outside, you have a meter that has a metallic disc spinning in one direction. If you were to produce electrical power, it would start spinning the other direction,
Right.
So to speak. But right now, Rocky Mountain Power is kind enough to allow net metering, and that could go away in the future. So right. It's imperative that we get the ball rolling on this today and don't miss out on an opportunity.
And of course, we always talk about, kilowatt hours means, at least in this state, coal.
Right.
And so thousands of kilowatt hours is thousands of pounds of coal that are not burned. And so they're the environmental effects of not doing that are obvious or are very relatable. So that's the kind of stuff that's going on. In addition, we got a couple more minutes. Tell us about some of the projects with Skull Candy, Jennifer or Jamie. You're working on two projects, right, Jamie?
There are a couple of Skull Candy projects that I know about. Frankly, last semester we had 75 kids and 42 projects, so I'm not always perfectly versed in all of the projects. I know that one of the projects we're working on for Skull Candy is the cable management, so that cord on your headset, which is always tangled and a mess. We're working on developing a new solution there for Skull Candy. And then also where you plug your cord into your device, a lot of times that wire bends. And I think we're all familiar with the iPhone cord that continually snaps there. So the kids are working on that as well. A back burner project for Skull Candy was to come up with a listening station in the retail stores where you could literally put the headset on and listen to the quality of the sound. And they have been working on that and presented it to the marketing team at the end of last semester. It's now no longer a back burner project. It's a front burner project because the students did such a great job. So that's exciting. And Skull Candy has been a huge supporter, which is great because they're a big business in a little town. So it's been really good for us to be able to have a partnership with them.
Well, we want to thank you guys for taking the time to come by and talk about PCCAPS, the Park City School District Center for Advanced Professional Studies. Jennifer Jackenthal is the director. And do you have a website or contact if people want to learn more, Jennifer?
We do, parkcitycaps.com.
Parkcitycaps.com, perfect. Well, Mike Wong and Jamie Martin, thanks for stopping in and talking about the solar project, among other things. And we will have updates going forward.
That's right. We can't wait to hear about how this project turns out.
All right. Let's take a break for some underwriters. When we come back, we've got a couple of news items to squeeze in. It's This Green Earth. Stay tuned.
The Egyptian Theater proudly presents the classic musical My Fair Lady by Lerner and Lowe. My Fair Lady tells the story of phonetics professor Henry Higgins, who places a bet that he can transform an unrefined Cockney girl, Eliza Doolittle, into a dignified lady. Playing March 14th through the 30th, tickets start at $35 and are available at parkcityshows.com or 649-9371. Don't miss your chance to see this stellar cast in what's called the best musical of all time, only at the Egyptian Theater, a nonprofit organization.
Park City Restore is grateful for the many hands that have made it successful. Your gift of time means more affordable housing services are available locally through Habitat for Humanity. Plus, volunteering at the Restore gives you a first look at the amazing treasures donated for resale. Learn how you can get involved at habitat-utah.org. Click on the big yellow volunteer button. Habitat for Humanity of Summit and Wasatch Counties is a nonprofit organization.
Welcome back to This Green Earth. I'm Nell Larson, and that's Chris Cherniak across the board shuffling
getting
his papers loudly. But we have two news highlights that we want to cover from this past week, and one of these is about the pebble mine that's proposed for the Bristol Bay area in Alaska.
Right, and that was something we kind of squeezed in quickly last week. Let's spend a few more minutes talking about what's going on here. Basically, Pebble Mine is a proposed open pit copper mine in the Bristol Bay area of Alaska. It would be the largest open pit copper mine ever developed, and in addition to that, it could threaten a salmon resource rare in its quality and productivity. And so, it's also one of the home of the world's largest sockeye salmon fisheries in Bristol Bay, Alaska. So, there is a lot of environmental consequences associated with building this, constructing this mine,
and social consequences on top of that. The salmon fishery is the primary food source for a number of native tribes that, you know, use that ecosystem as their home. So it has these massive cascading effects, I guess.
Yes, and so the process typically involves the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers taking part in permit review for the construction of this mine, and then the EPA would also oversee and review some of the design efforts here. And what the EPA basically did a couple weeks ago now is put a halt to the project, not deny it altogether, but basically they've directed the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers to not issue a permit to allow this design or construction process to continue. The EPA wants to spend more time evaluating the potential impacts to the land, the air, and most importantly, the water and these natural resources of this sockeye salmon.
And this is pretty unusual action for EPA to take.
Yes, they rarely do this,
yeah.
as even they stated in their news release. So basically, the takeaway here is they're going to study it some more, and that could mean years
right.
of analysis. So the Pebble Mine has been kind of delayed and deferred for probably what might be years in the making before the EPA finally either makes a decision to not allow it to happen at all or continue with some major modifications to it that won't impact the salmon fishery there.
So. And I think if people have, you know, want to learn more about this, there's tons of information online.
Yes.
There are websites that help you figure out how to give your feedback to the EPA and
yeah.
– available.
Just search on Pebble Mine in Bristol Bay, and you'll find no shortage of additional information about that. Okay.
Yeah.
We got a minute or so.
Perfect.
Yes.
Plenty of time.
Okay.
So we have, you know, covered the Fukushima nuclear disaster again and again, and we talked about the implications for power plants here in the U.S. And so the New York Times just put out an article that sort of looks at, okay, what's happening here in the U.S. in response to that? And it's pretty interesting. This company, Exelon, that operates 17 of the 100 commercial nuclear reactors in the U.S., is planning to spend $400 million to $500 million on upgrades in response to what happened at Fukushima.
Wow.
Some of their plants are designed really similarly to the Fukushima plant. They visited that area to learn about it. They are bringing, you know, supplies on site, power generators, looking at what happened if, you know, if there was a freak flood or earthquake
right.
or, you know, these circumstances that they hadn't really been considering. One of the most interesting things, I think, is that they're putting together 20 kits, which each have 20 truck trailers. So one kit, 20 truck trailers full of supplies. And these are going to be placed around the country and then deployed in the event of a disaster. So any nuclear plant could be reached by one of these kits within one day.
One day.
Yeah.
There you go. That's precautionary principle at work.
That's right.
All right. Hey, we got to take a break for Last Sunset of Underwriters and come back and wrap up. It's This Green Earth.
Additional funding for programming on KPCW has been provided by Longreimer Weiniger Bepler, Estate Planning, Family Law, LRW-LAW.com. Brett Stimson, Mortgage Assistant for Home Purchases, 801-201-3484. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting and listeners like you.
Welcome back to This Green Earth, and we'd like to thank our underwriters for making this show possible. They are Jones, Waldo, Holbrook, and McDonough.
Republic Services.
Habitat for Humanities Restore.
Vail Resorts.
Rocky Mountain Power.
San Francisco Design.
And Prudential Utah Real Estate.
Of course, again, you can join us on Facebook at KPCW This Green Earth.
And you can email us your thoughts and ideas at thisgreenearth@kpcw.org.
Remember, this is KPCW Park City, only in Park City, only on KPCW. Thanks for joining us.